Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Along, it's Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. No Chris Carlin today. We have the lovely Courtney Cronin filling in. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Sixers host the Heat. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6:30 Eastern on most ESPN stations. Now, Courtney, today is NFL schedule release, so we got a lot of news coming out with the NFL schedule leaks. But before we get to that, we do have to give an update on the Jerry Jeudy arrest. This per our ESPN insider, Adam Schefter. Arapahoe Sheriff's announced that Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy is being held at the Arapahoe County Jail on charges of second-degree criminal tampering with a domestic violence enhancer, a misdemeanor charge. He is on a no-bond hold. He's innocent until proven guilty. So that is where we are with that. Any updates? We will continue to keep you posted. But we got a little bit of news on the Broncos front. On a lighter note, Russell Wilson doesn't have to wait long to make his debut back in Seattle in a Broncos uniform, because that is the first Monday night week one game. That's what we got. Week one Monday night, Russell Wilson going back to Seattle. Does he get cheered or does he get booed by Seahawks fans?
There's no way he can get booed. He's such a nice guy. Has anybody ever said anything bad about Russell Wilson?
Yeah, like, they said he's corny, but that's about it.
That's not the worst thing. I've been called worse. I think that he has done so much for that team, took him to Super Bowls, did a lot in the community. He's a stand-up guy. He's a great teammate. Like, I can't see that crowd in Seattle. I mean, first off, they're not like a hostile crowd anyways. It'd be different if you're like in a place where fans hate you if you're not there, like maybe like a Philadelphia crowd, for example.
Ooh.
But I think that they will probably give him an ovation. You know, he left because the pieces weren't there around him. They kind of hung him out to dry with the way that they did not address the offensive line, and realizing that Russell, at this point of his career, it's such a tremendous athlete still, but like, he's running for his life back there. So I think that fans, at least the smart ones, realize that the team probably didn't do enough to help him stay there. So they can't be mad when he comes back and he's wearing a different uniform and he went and got an awesome contract with the Denver Broncos via the trade. I think that they'll give him an ovation. Maybe even the Seahawks will make a video. Who knows?
Wow. So Russell Wilson getting an ovation when he goes back to Seattle in a Broncos uniform. Really interesting. What's also interesting, Courtney, is what kind of reception the Sixers are going to get if they get closed out on their home court tonight against the Miami Heat. And for more on that situation, game six between Heat and Sixers, we got the guy that's going to be on the call, ESPN Radio NBA analyst, our favorite coach, PJ Carlissimo. He's on the call with Kesty tonight, Mark Kestershire. And PJ, it's always great to have you on our show. And I wanted to ask you this. How do you explain the effort level that we saw from the Sixers in game five down in Miami? Because Doc Rivers was on the sidelines in the first half of that game, begging his team in a timeout to give more effort. How do you get to that place as a team? If you're a head coach, how could you find yourself in that situation?
Well, it just first of all, hi, Chris and Courtney. I thought you had me on to talk about Russell Wilson. I've lived in Seattle since 2007-08, so I thought I'd be the perfect one. But you guys don't want to hear about it, so I'll jump into basketball. Can't explain it. Doc can't explain it. There's an expression, used it when we talked, when Kesty and I and John Madani were talking to Doc this morning at their practice facility, and I said, Doc, like, how many times you don't coach effort? Even if sometimes you have to get on people, or, you know, that's part of your job. If you think it's kind of a lackluster effort, you can get on them. But it's really difficult, particularly on a professional level, to coach effort. Now, when you say on top of that, it's game five in a conference semifinal, and you're on the road. I mean, you could make the point that game five is usually the pivotal game in a lot of series in the NBA. It's inexcusable and really, really difficult to explain. I don't think in the players' minds they weren't playing hard, but there was no comparison with the energy that the Heat were playing and the way the Sixers were playing. I'll give Joel a tiny bit of a pass because he was playing okay. He wasn't playing like MVP candidate Joel Embiid before he got that. You know, it was just an unfortunate play. Dedmon swung down, hit the ball. I actually thought when we watched it live, he put his finger in his eye the way Joel reacted, but it was the ball against the mask and against that, you know, very, very tender and painful injury. And he looked even less like an MVP candidate from that point on. But again, game five, astounding, to be honest with you. You don't get that kind. I don't give Golden State any kind of pass for last night, but they're up one. They weren't playing with the desperation that you would think the Sixers would have been playing with the other, you know, whenever that was, two nights. I've lost track of time. I guess it was Tuesday night. So it was really, really hard to explain. I think Doc was still at a loss when we talked to him today. You know, it's one of those things as a coach where you feel you need to look at the tape because that's the right thing to do. But in the old days when you had film and you actually had, you know, a piece of evidence, you would throw it away. I mean, they had the expression. It was a true expression. It's a regular season game. You wouldn't have bothered looking at it. In the playoffs, you got to, you know, cover every base you can. So Doc looked at it. It had to be painful. And then, you know, flushed it. And that's, again, that's one of the things in the playoffs that's really important to do is to flush the last game and to move on. I mean, you hopefully learn from it. But it's unique because all year, very seldom do you play the same team twice in a row, much less potentially seven times in a row. And it's really, it's just a different, totally different mindset than the regular season. And the number one thing that you got to bring to the table is that effort and that intensity because the playoffs are played at a different level. You know, and people kind of snicker when you say that. I go, what are you talking about? It's a different level. It's more physical. The games are more meaningful. Some people thrive on that. Some people really struggle because the games are so important and so meaningful. And the number one thing that you have to bring to the table before you even talk about X's and O's and what you're going to do is that intensity level. And for whatever reason, it was not there for the Sixers on Tuesday night.
Does Joel Embiid need to play at an MVP level tonight in order for this team to force a Game 7?
Pretty close to it, Courtney. I hate to put that on anybody, but you don't mind putting it on that, you know, the best player on the team. You know, to put it on Tyrese Maxey is unfair. First of all, he's had a great series, a great playoffs. He struggled the other night, but I wouldn't put that on a second-year guy and say, oh, Maxey's got to be great for the Sixers to win. That's not fair. For Joel Embiid, yeah, it's fair. For him or James Harden or for, Jimmy Butler, even Bam, even though he's younger, for the best players, the guys, that's why those guys make that kind of money, because they're expected to play consistently, night in and night out, and they're consistent to perform in the big games better than other people. That's why they are who they are. That's why they're MVPs. That's why they're all-stars. So, yeah, Joel has to play at an MVP level, I think, for the Sixers to win. I would not be shocked if he does, and I would not be shocked if the Sixers win. This series, and I hadn't looked at it. I kind of had like my little cheat sheet where I've got all the playoffs strung together, and I was doing the chronological one last night. And last night was the 19th and 20th games of the four series. Each series has had five games. 16 times the home team has won. That's really unusual in the modern-day NBA. And I guess in the old days it happened a lot. 16 times the home team has won two of the series, this one and Dallas Phoenix. The home team has won every game, and the Golden State-Memphis game, which we had game one, which Golden State won, the home team's won the next four, and then the only series where it's not true is Milwaukee and Boston, and that's the opposite. The visiting team has won three games, so go figure. This series probably even more so than Dallas and Phoenix. The games have been really one-sided. The three-point shot has been a major factor. And for whatever reason, the Sixers can't shoot in Testy. What's the name of the FTX? I'm going to say it wrong. In FTX Arena, and the Heat can't shoot in Wells Fargo. So it's been a bizarre series in terms of home and away play from teams that, you know, had really good regular seasons, and you would never expect them to struggle the way they've both struggled on the road so far.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you hopping on with us, and we hope you enjoy the call tonight. We look forward to talking to you again real soon.
CC, I will. And by the way, they're going to cheer for Russell when he's introduced. The rest of the game, he's a Bronco, man, and they're going to be booing him just like they boo all the Broncos when you come into Seattle.
All right, there you go. You heard it from Coach. That's what Russell Wilson has to look forward to. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Sixers host the Heat, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6:30 Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. On deck next, how much will the outcome of Game 6 determine Doc Rivers' future in Philly? Courtney and I will weigh in on that. You're listening to ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, rocking with Courtney Cronin today. Chris Carlin is on Mancation. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Canty and Carlin with Courtney Cronin today. And, you know, we've got the quota on how many co-hosts we can have with C's as initials. But, Courtney, one of the things we have to look at is what's happening with the Sixers in the Heat series. Game 6 shifting back to Philadelphia, Wells Fargo Center. And Doc Rivers has been somebody that a lot of people have talked about in connection with the Los Angeles Lakers job if he happens to be fired by the Philadelphia 76ers. And so I do think it's a legitimate question is what the future of Doc Rivers in Philadelphia is. A lot of people in Philadelphia, Sixers fans, have wanting Doc Rivers to be fired. They want his head on a platter coming into the playoffs. We felt like it was going in that direction after dropping down 0-2 to the Miami Heat, but they did climb back in the series. They won the two games at home, only to be embarrassed in Game 5 at FTX Arena. So my question to you is this. If the Sixers lose Game 6 and are eliminated from the playoffs tonight on their home court, do you see a world where Doc Rivers is the head coach going into next season?
I think it's only if it's a close loss tonight. Like, if they get blown out and if they get embarrassed, back-to-back games, 120-85 the other night, and I know Doc Rivers threw up his hands and couldn't explain it, the lack of effort that his team came out with. And, of course, at the end of the day, we all know that falls on coaching, right or wrong. But if it happens again tonight, then he's not the head coach tomorrow. If it's a close loss, though, I think that he's still able to keep his job because there's so many built-in excuses here, Chris. They weren't even playing with Joel Embiid in the first two games of the series. And you can argue that the adjustments, I mean, of course, Joel coming back to the lineup certainly helps in Game 3, but the adjustments that Doc Rivers made, having, you know, putting Danny Green in those positions to score a bunch of threes to get them back into, you know, fighting contention here in the series, that he built up some goodwill, I think, with Daryl Morey, the general manager in the front office, and certainly, you know, others within the Philadelphia 76ers organization. So it's got to be the hardest fought dogfight this Philadelphia 76ers team has ever been in, if it is indeed a loss tonight, in order for Doc Rivers to keep his job. But if they have anything other than 110% effort tonight, he's out the door tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I mean, it's got to be the closest of close games. You're talking about losing at the buzzer to the Miami Heat. It has to be in that fashion, even for Daryl Morey and Sixers ownership to entertain keeping Doc Rivers. Because, Courtney, if you look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference and the teams that are true title contenders, Doc Rivers is not a better coach than those coaches that you're going to be going up against. You're looking at Eric Spoelstra from the Miami Heat. Doc Rivers is not a better coach than Spo. Doc Rivers is not a better coach than what we've seen from Coach Budenholzer. Is Doc Rivers a better coach than Ime Udoka in his first year? I can't say that he is. I mean, you could make the argument that Doc Rivers isn't a better coach than Nick Nurse. So if you're the Philadelphia 76ers organization, you're looking at the teams that are at the top of the Eastern Conference, the teams that you're going to have to go through in order to win a championship. You're going to be in a deficit from a coaching perspective in a lot of those series. So not only do your players have to beat the opponent, but they've got to overcome, you know, being at a coaching deficit with the guy that they've got on their sideline. So that's one of the concerns I have with Doc. The other one you mentioned, Joel Embiid, not available at the beginning of this series because of the fracture in his face and then, of course, the concussion symptoms. The reason why Joel Embiid had that was what happened in Game 6. You know, the series against the Toronto Raptors where they were up 3-0 and they should not have been playing. And first of all, he shouldn't have been – and the other part of that is, Courtney, he shouldn't have been in the game. You got a 20-plus point lead. Why is Joel Embiid still in the game where he can get hit in the face by Pascal Siakam? All of those decisions fall at the feet of Doc Rivers, which is why I think you can make the case that Doc Rivers should not be the coach going into next year, because you could probably find a coach that you can do better with. So I'm not saying that Doc is the worst, but in terms of where Doc is right now in today's NBA and where you are in the conference that you play in, Philadelphia has to take a strong look at their head coaching spot if they do get closed out and they lose tonight on their home court.
And you have to wonder, has this team reached its ceiling with Doc Rivers as their head coach? I know he hasn't been there very long. Like, we have like a 2-season sample size, and that doesn't feel like that's enough to judge somebody in a vacuum. But history, looking at other teams that he's coached, other, you know, 3-1 leads that have been blown. It was something that was talked about in the first round series against Toronto. Yes, they did get out of that series, but where they're at right now, this is a closeout game tonight.
No doubt.
They lose, and, you know, it's a team that, you know, was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and just everything that they did this offseason to try to make their chances better of getting to the NBA Finals. Like, some of that falls on coaching, some of that's on your personnel, but at the end of the day, there's always a fall guy, Chris. We know this. Like, it's
no doubt.
And it always falls on coaching. Like, James Harden is going to be good whether he ends up, like, no matter what happens with his contract situation and whether he hits free agency or whether he ends up staying and signing a max with the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid's going to be good either way. All these other players are going to be good. And even, and to a degree, Doc Rivers is probably going to be good because he's linked right now to the Los Angeles Lakers opening. Your Los Angeles Lakers. Sorry for saying that here on the air, but, you know, at the end of the day, there's always someone, the bill comes due. Responsibility has to be taken, and most times that ends up falling on the coaches, right or wrong. And I do feel like if this is a game that looks similar to what happened on Monday night, that Doc Rivers' future in Philadelphia is short-lived.
All right, let's go out to the CC call-in line and bring on Roy in San Antonio. Roy, you're on ESPN Radio. 30 seconds to make your case on Doc Rivers. What you got?
All right, look, I'm a veteran and a truck driver. I'm tired of these guys putting all this weight on these coaches. These guys get paid too much money to not play. James Harden, I don't know what's wrong with him. One night he didn't want to do nothing. All of a sudden, he got energy. He's 32 years old. Come on, man. You should be playing hard every single game. Your boy got punched in the face. He's still playing, and he's still hurting. That's not right. Doc Rivers is a decent person. What else can he do? Play the game for them? They get paid too much. Let them guys play. They're making him look bad.
All right, there it is from Roy's perspective. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because the series seems so one-sided even without Joel Embiid. The games in Miami weren't even competitive. And I'm sorry, Courtney, coaching in a lot of instances is trying to help your players overcome the adversity that they face. And we saw that that's not something that Doc Rivers did early on in this series, which in part led to where they're down and facing elimination in Game 6. Coming up next, all these rumors around Phil Jackson and how he feels about LeBron James. Does that signal the start of a Lakers rebuild? We'll talk to somebody that's in the know that gives us the update on what's happening in L.A. You're listening to Candy and Carlin with Courtney Cronin filling in. We're on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Courtney Cronin filling in for the big fella. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at Progressive.com. How much will the outcome of Game 6 determine Doc Rivers' future in Philadelphia? For more on that, we bring on ESPN NBA reporter Ramona Shelburne. And Ramona, it's great to have you on the show. We appreciate a few minutes of your time. And as a Lakers fan, I got to get right to it because there are rumors out there that Phil Jackson and the Lakers organization could potentially be interested in Doc Rivers should he be fired by the Philadelphia 76ers. So the first part of the question is, what exactly is the job status of Doc Rivers with the Sixers? And could this be a plausible alternative for the Los Angeles Lakers when it comes to their head coaching search?
So I see why all those dots are out there and why people want to connect them. I get it, right? Like people see that. I think I did a story on all the coaches that Phil Jackson had influenced 2 years ago when The Last Dance came out, and Nick Nurse was one of them. Doc Rivers was one of them, right? Like Phil's kind of, you know, he talks to a lot of coaches because he's got 11 rings. I mean, that's his status in the game. I will say, I don't think Doc Rivers' job is in jeopardy. I know that's been out there, but I've unless people lie to my face, I don't see it. I think he's gonna be back there next year. They won a first round series, right? He's, you know, people are really excited to see what would happen, not just the end of this year, but if Doc is Doc and James and Joel and Tobias and the Tyrus Maxey, if they all get another year together where they have a full year together where they can work on things, like they feel like that's going to be the best version of this team because this has all just been thrown together in 2.5. So I don't think Doc's available. I know he's under contract, and I don't think he will be available. I think he's fine no matter what happens tonight. But I'm going to give you this caveat. Anything could happen in the NBA, and so – People lie to you until they don't lie to you, right? So I don't want to say never, but I don't see that happening based on every call I've made.
Ramona, there's been a lot made about the power structure and the influence within the Los Angeles Lakers organization. Yep. There was an article that came out from the Los Angeles Times, a sit down with owner Jeannie Buss about who she's listening to in this coaching search as they try to move forward here. And I know that Phil Jackson and his relationship with LeBron James has not been the best over the last few years. And apparently he is still a trusted voice and an advisor for Jeannie Buss. How do you see this playing out with LeBron's future in Los Angeles if Phil Jackson is indeed pulling a lot of strings behind the scenes to find their next head coach?
So I would describe Phil's role with the Lakers as a consult. Okay. I don't think he definitely does not have any official role. He's from what I understand, he's in Montana right now. Like he's not in the war room with him, right? He's at his place on the lake. Okay. But he and Jeannie Buss have stayed really good friends, and they talk all the time. If you remember, they were engaged to be married a few years ago. And I know that she is the type of owner who likes to collaborate, right? She likes to call people whose opinion she trusts. She likes to bounce things off people. I know a handful of people that Jeannie talks to when she's like sort of feeling things out, like, what do you think? And it's actually very similar to the way her dad used to run the franchise, which is like, trust your basketball people and have a few people who you bounce things off of. He had a couple of business friends who he would speak with. I think a lot of owners are like this. They have, you know, people whose opinion they trust, right? The difference is most people's
people they consult with don't have 11 rings. Okay? They don't have the stature of Phil Jackson or Magic Johnson and the late Kobe Bryant, who was another person that Jeannie would consult with. And I think that's, you know, partially just why this became a story. Having covered the Lakers the last, like, 10, 15 years, like, Phil's always kind of been involved. Even when he was not involved, he was involved, right? Because they're friends. And he's friends with Kurt Rambis and Linda Rambis and everybody else, and Rob Pelinka. And he's just he's a part of the Laker family. So I don't know. How big a story is it? It's big because it's Phil Jackson. But is it any different than it's been the last 5 years? And frankly, like, even when LeBron came to the Lakers, they were friends, you know? So I know that LeBron and Phil haven't seen that, you know, haven't had the best relationship, but nothing Phil says about LeBron is going to make Jeannie Buss do anything. It's just, it would just be his opinion, right? Just a good opinion that you listen to and you take in for what it's worth. But have people strange from Montana.
Talking with ESPN NBA reporter, right? Ramona Shelburne. And Ramona, we're up against it, so I want this answer 30 sure. seconds or less. What happens with Kyrie Irving this offseason between him and the Brooklyn Nets?
Woo, they turned the table on him yesterday, didn't they?
They sure did.
Was an interesting leverage play and trying to reset the culture in Brooklyn. I think they just put the ball in his court. You know, it kind of sounded like they would like him to opt into his player option, and we'll see what happens with what type of extension is offered. But they kind of said, we're doing our thing. You let us know if you want to be a part of it. And that was a very different message than we had gotten for most of last year.
No doubt about it. Ramona, we appreciate you jumping on with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
That's ESPN NBA reporter Ramona Shelburne giving us the latest on my Lakers, also what's going on with Doc Rivers and the Kyrie Irving saga. Up next, has Giannis become the new gatekeeper of the Eastern Conference? Courtney and I will weigh in on it. You're listening to ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And calling on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And Courtney, last night the Warriors were a no-show in Memphis, and the Grizz took care of their business, avoiding elimination in Game 5, beating Golden State 134-95. The Grizz led by as many as 55, but ultimately ended up having a 39-point margin of victory. And lest we just say, that was an embarrassing performance by Golden State all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, it was just unacceptable. That's disrespectful to the game of basketball, and the way that they came out was C-minus effort. What do you expect? That's going to be the result, because last I checked, Memphis was the 2 seed. They're 21-6 in games without Ja Morant. They've played without him. They've won without him. So, of course, they were going to find a way to get a win last night, given the history that they've had, and also just the disrespect that they probably felt at the hand of the Golden State Warriors by coming out that way. When someone gives you an inch, you go a mile, and that's what they did.
Yeah, I mean, you can't come out before Game 5 as if you're Steph Curry and say, our game plan is to whoop that trick, knowing that that's one of the anthems for the Memphis Grizzlies, and you think you're not going to be met with that same kind of energy in Game 5. But that's exactly what happened. And to your point, when you disrespect the game of basketball, you get beat down. You get an ass kicking. And that's what they got. And it reminds me of a time when I was playing for the Dallas Cowboys. Courtney, I think it was 2006, the fourth game of the season. We're on the road against a division opponent in the Philadelphia Eagles. And you know, playing at the Link is never easy for an NFC East rival. And yet, because we had such a good football team, we thought that we were going to roll our helmet out there and beat up on the Eagles. Now, we ended up losing that game 38-24. But I can tell you this, as a member of the Dallas Cowboys, it felt like we lost 50-0. And what's most memorable about that game is not the actual game, but the meeting that we had as a defensive line the next day, because Donovan McNabb threw for over 300 yards and two touchdowns, no interceptions. And I remember my defensive line coach, Casey Rogers, who's now the defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the first thing that he starts our film session with is, I got friends watching this tape, and y'all are embarrassing me. Y'all are trying to get me fired, but let me let you know this. If I get fired, I'm taking some of y'all down with me. And I never thought that that would be the tone of a conversation in an NFL meeting where I'm getting coached up watching game film. Just never thought it would happen, but that was the case. And it's crazy to think that that was the world that we lived in. But because it was such a bad performance by our team, our defensive line coach felt like he had to take it there. So needless to say, we didn't turn in any more stinkers like that one the rest of the year.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to Candy and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm rocking with Courtney Cronin, who's filling in for Chris Carlin. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on Twitter at Courtney R. Cronin and at Chris Candy 99. And as always, tap in on the CC call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Is the Greek Freak the new gatekeeper of the Eastern Conference? And Courtney, with the Bucks seemingly poised to win this series against the Celtics, closeout game in game six on Saturday in Milwaukee, it just feels like the Eastern Conference, in order to get to the NBA Finals, has to go through Milwaukee. It has to go through Giannis. And he's the best player in the world. I don't know if there's anybody out there that wants to debate that. I get it that Nikola Jokic won back-to-back MVPs, but nobody really thinks Jokic is a better player than Giannis. Giannis is the best player in the world, and he is coming off of an NBA title, and it seems poised to be able to defend that NBA title, at least being able to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. And so my question to you would be, if we do see Giannis win the East and get to the NBA Finals a second straight year, is he getting ready to go on a LeBron-esque run where you can get back to the NBA Finals and win your conference eight straight years? Are we setting the stage for that to potentially happen with Giannis's career?
It feels like that. And when you talk about him being a gatekeeper in the Eastern Conference, maybe I'm a product of recency bias, but I kind of feel like he already is, because I look around the rest of that conference. It's not Joel Embiid. It's not Kevin Durant, given what's happened the last two seasons. I can't point out anybody else other than Giannis as that person, and I know that they just won a title last year. In order to cement yourself as that person, you got to do it again this year, and you got to get back to the finals in multiple years from here on out.
Yeah.
Like, that's what LeBron James did when he was with Cleveland. It's what he did when he was with the Miami Heat. You have to live up to that same sort of standard in order to maintain this title and this, you know, chokehold on the rest of the Eastern Conference. But I feel like he's already that guy, not just because he is the best player on the planet right now. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. It's the two-time MVP awards that he's earned. It's the finals last year. It's how they've dominated throughout this postseason, in spite of not necessarily being the best team by and large during the regular season. They have that extra gear, and that's what Giannis gives them. So until somebody else is willing to come steal it from him, and maybe it is Boston. Like, I'll come back on the show and apologize next week. I know Chris Carlin said he doesn't apologize. I'll come back on here and say it. Because, like, until further notice, it's Giannis's conference, and everybody else is just playing in it.
Yeah, it feels like this series is somewhat of a coronation for Giannis. I get it that he won the championship last year, but being able to get through the Boston Celtics, to me, this is the Eastern Conference Finals. Whoever they meet in the Conference Finals, whether that's Miami or Philadelphia, I think it's a fait accompli that Milwaukee is going to dispatch them and get to the NBA Finals. But to me, if Giannis can get through Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, a year removed from being able to beat the Brooklyn Nets in a 7-game series with Kevin Durant. I just feel like this is the moment where Giannis is being crowned the new king of the Eastern Conference. And we had that moment, a little bit of a moment last night with him getting the elbow from Pat Connaughton in the eye and the bleeding eye, but he knocks down the three-pointer. He's making game-winning plays at the end of Game 5. It just felt like one of those moments where it was iconic for Giannis and for the Milwaukee Bucks because they seized control of this series, and it gives them a clearer path to get to a second consecutive NBA Finals. So I think this has the potential to be a LeBron-esque run, but it also gives me a newfound appreciation for what LeBron James did once upon a time, going to 4 consecutive conference finals with the Miami Heat and then another 4 consecutive conference finals with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's not easy to do, Amber, and that just shows you how great LeBron James has been to be able to stay healthy for that stretch of time and to play at the level that he did. Giannis has got a long way to go, but if we're looking at anybody in the landscape of the NBA, this is the guy that has the potential to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he's had as many games with 40 or more points, 10 or more rebounds as the rest of the NBA combined over the last two postseasons. That's insane. Where, you know, you look at this list of names, it's Devin Booker, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, and then it's Giannis. Like, that's starting, you know, that's turning the car on in order for him to, you know, drive off here as the gatekeeper of the Eastern Conference and where everything's going to run through Milwaukee. The good thing is right now, I guess in terms of parity and being able to see more than just, like, one favorite in the East, because right, like Miami's the number one seed and we barely talk about them like they are.
So much disrespect.
It is, and I think it's a good thing because I like talking about a multitude of teams where the odds for teams making it to the finals and winning it are you know, a lot more, it's a lot more level playing field, which I think is good for the sport because you're not talking about dynasties at the same level that we were when LeBron was in Miami winning multiple championships and winning one with the Cavaliers. And, you know, his pedigree throughout his career is untouchable. And I don't honestly know that there's going to be a singular player, Giannis included, going to, what did you say, 8 straight conference finals. I don't feel like that's possible when the rest of the league is where it's at right now and constantly changing. Like, think about when LeBron did that. That was 10 years ago. Yep. That was a different version of the NBA than we see today, where, you know, Giannis's game is different than when LeBron was at his prime, at the peak of his career in, you know, the mid-2010s. But there's no one else right now, as I see it, that has this ability to be that guy other than Giannis. And I think that he'll remain the MVP in most people's eyes. And I know that he was, you know, just a hair of a point shy from winning the scoring title this year. That shows you how different the NBA is now and just how stacked it is and how close it is. But in order for this to happen, as we've seen, you know, Giannis went into monster mode last night and it was fantastic, but the support that he got from Drew Holiday, the support that he got from, you know, the rest of his supporting cast, including Bobby Portis, the Milwaukee Bucks need to make sure that they retain that supporting cast and strengthen it over the years in order to best support Giannis so he can be that guy.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed that out because one of the things that's important to look at when we compare what Giannis is potentially poised to do versus what LeBron James did in going to 8 straight NBA Finals, LeBron James left the Miami Heat when you had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and jumped to a car that was the Cleveland Cavaliers with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. So I'm not quite sure that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be able to have it teed up where when it becomes time to retool the supporting cast that Giannis will be able to stay pat and that they would be able to move all of the other pieces and bring back guys that can be those types of impact players in a supporting role. I just don't know that something like that is possible. And we've seen that Giannis is not the type of player that wants to go anywhere else. Like, he decided that he was going to lock into a long-term contract before they won the championship last year. And now that he's proven that you can do it in Milwaukee, there's no reason that Giannis would ever leave. So I think Giannis has the potential to do that. But that puts a lot of pressure on Coach Bud And I think it also puts a ton of pressure on the Milwaukee Bucks organization to spend like they need to spend, but also to mortgage the draft picks like they need to. And they've shown the willingness to do that because they traded 3 draft picks for Jrue Holiday. So we'll see if Giannis can live up to that, the gatekeeper of the Eastern Conference.